My Jesus, I love thee. I suppose that's a good title to put for the 666 song, right? My Jesus, I love thee. Let's sing it. Let's stand as we sing it.
Joshua chapter 14, we're in the discussion of possessing the land and how the children of Israel were to possess the land. And last week, we saw that possession is by providence. Possession is by providence. What we're looking at here are principles of possession. Now, of course, we're talking about the children of Israel under the leadership of Joshua coming over the Jordan River and coming into the promised land and taking the land over, possessing it. It required that they slay all the wicked Gentiles that were in the land and then take that land as their own. The overthrowing of the Gentiles was part of God's purpose and plan to judge those Gentile nations for their wicked abominations before the Lord. The people that were in the land before Israel came in and conquered it were very, very wicked. I don't know that I could even do it justice to describe for you the awful wickedness that was going on the part of the many of the Amorites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, you know, all those ites that are mentioned. They were very, very wicked. And the wrath of God towards them was filled up and overflowing. And he instructed the children of Israel to not leave man, woman, child alive. He even instructed often that even the beasts would be slain. And just totally wipe out those people. God was judging them for their sin. And most of it had to do with the way they worshiped God. And the types of gods that they created and the idolatry. And then the evil, abominable practices that went along with worshiping these man-made gods. typical of man, you know, to make a religion where he could then sin all he wants, but put it under the guise of worshiping our gods. I believe that even though America might not have all kinds of gods that they worship, I believe it's the gods of materialism and the gods of riches that many worship in our land. And as a result, the abominable practices that go along with it are probably equal what's going on or what was going on in the land before the children of Israel came in. My wife read a news headline today. Was that in the newspaper this morning or was that Parade magazine? Made a remark that one out of 31 men, is it adult men or just adults, period? One out of every 31 adults are in jail in the United States. Or they're on probation. Or what was the other? House arrest. One out of 31 adults are in jail. And the conclusion was the United States is either a very wicked nation or, what'd they say, honey? Evil nation. Or we're not doing something right. I think it's both. We're not doing something right and we're evil as a nation. Wow. That's pretty bad. I guess that we rank right up there at the top of how many people are under arrest or in jail or have done something wrong. Isn't it? This country needs the Lord. And if anything is equal to what God has done to nations in the past, this nation's headed for judgment. Headed for judgment. And what we need to do is live for the Lord, be a good testimony, and spread the good news and save some of these from the judgment to come. And so let's now look at some of these things, principles of possessing. One of them is possession is by providence. I know we did this last week, so I won't preach that again. But to possess the land is part of God's way of bringing about His desires and His plans. So possession is by providence. Remember we talked about how the land was divided by lot and how this was done. We do not know, but God directed it to take place. And how does God direct us in the possessing all that God would have for us to possess in our Christian lives? We cannot read these accounts without comparing this with the Christian possessing all that God has for us in Christ Jesus. And I gave you a list of things. First of all, the Holy Spirit of God is very involved in us possessing the many blessings that God has for us in Christ Jesus. And then the Word of God also makes the man of God thoroughly perfect unto all good works and so forth. And then prayer, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we have not because we what? Ask not, James 4:2. And then circumstances of open and closed doors are involved by God in His providence to bring the blessings of the land to be ours in Christ Jesus. And it's not by chance, folks. I did not read this verse with you last week as I was trying to close up. Go with me to Romans, very familiar passage of Scripture. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. Romans 8 and verse 28 says this. Let's read it together, everybody. Just this verse. As soon as we're all there. Romans 8 and verse 28. Let's read together out loud, all right? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Well, there you go, folks. Nothing happens by chance. Your possessing the land spiritually is not a chance thing. Well, I just think that other brother in the Lord just has better luck than I do. Oh, no, there's no matter of luck to this thing. Or by chance you have a stronger spiritual walk with the Lord than someone else. No, one of the principles of the blessings of God upon us is that it's done by the providential care of our Father up in heaven. Then we talked about We really didn't talk too much about it, but there was one tribe out of all the 12 tribes of Israel that were not told that they had a land to possess, and that was the Levites. For their job was to minister the spiritual things for the Lord. And they as a tribe never were given any particular plot of land in the Holy Land as their own. Their possession was the Lord Himself. You know, I would hope that we who are spiritual priests with the Lord today in Christ Jesus might say the same thing. Lord, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be also. And we're told to lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt. And so, folks, the Levites, though they didn't get anything, it seems, I hope that you can kind of connect with them and compare your own situation with them and say, you know what, I'll be glad to just have the Lord as my possession. My Jesus, I love Thee, we sang, right? And I hope and pray that every one of you will learn more and more how to possess the Lord by His providential care. It's not by chance. And you will get the spiritual blessings that the Lord has for you. Now, let's go on to the next principle of blessing, and we'll find out that possession is by faith. Not only by providence, but by faith. We're going to start at chapter 14 of Joshua and starting at verse 6 down through the end of the chapter. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. Now Caleb and Joshua are talking to each other. You know, these are the only two men left alive. From that generation that refused to take God at His word and enter into the land right away after coming out of Egypt. All the rest of their their contemporaries are dead. They're all dead and buried in the wilderness. And now Caleb comes to Joshua. They probably were buddies. Spiritual buddies and friends in the things of the Lord. And Caleb says to Joshua, you know what Moses, the man of God, concerning me said. Verse 7, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. So he was 40 years old after they came out during the Passover through the Red Sea. And the Lord brought them right up to the promised land. And he said, go on in, it's yours. Moses sent in 12 spies, and 10 of them came back with an evil report, 2 came back with a good report. Who were those 2 men? Yep, Joshua, Caleb, Joshua. That's who they were. And because of the evil report, they caused the people to be disheartened, and they did not take God at His word, and they did not go into the land. Of course, after God judged them for that, they determined that the next day, well, we will go anyway. And then the Lord wasn't with them. And they were defeated soundly. And the Lord said, you're all going to die in the wilderness. And you're not going to enter into the rest because of unbelief. And how many people do not possess the land because of unbelief? And how many even among the Christians do not totally get all that God has for you every day because of unbelief? And here we're talking about possession is by faith. You've got to take God at His word. So here's Caleb now, 40 years later. He was 40 years old when he went in. We add 40 years to his life. He's in his 80s here now. And in fact, he's going to tell us how old he is in a moment. And he says, 40 years old was I, and I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. I'm in the end of verse 7. As it was in mine heart. You know, the other men who brought back an evil report, they didn't report as was in their heart. They reported as they could see with their eyes. Oh, there's giants in the land. Caleb said, yes, there's giants in the land, but the Lord said, let's go. They're ours, and we can defeat them. He was speaking from his heart. They were speaking from their head and from their eyes and from their flesh. Thank God for men who will stand and speak from their heart. We need Joshua and Calebs today. You know that? We do. Would you be one? Will you stand? Will you be counted? Will you support that which stands for the word of the Lord today? I hope you would. And just be right behind it. And yes, that's. I'm asking you to do that with the work of the Lord right here at Ray Street Baptist Church. We need Joshuas and Calebs who say, we can. We can stand for the Lord. Let's take our stand. Yeah, but look at the enemy. Don't worry about them. Carl Edwards said today, he said, yes, was it Elisha and Gehazi or Elijah and Gehazi? Elisha said, open his eyes that he might see. And the Lord opened Gehazi's eyes so that he could see. I think it was Elisha. He opened his eyes, or no, it had to be Elijah. Wasn't he with the name and the leper and all that? I can't recall now if it's Elisha or Elijah. Come on, all you spiritual giants here tonight. I can't recall right now either. But he said, open his eyes that he might see. And the Lord opened his eyes and he could see the host of God's angels all around them. And he could see that there were more that were with them than with the enemy. You know, we might be a small band of people, but we need to stand for the truth. And Chris? Amen. Amen. That's the promise of God, and right there it was. And the blessing of God was right there. And often you can't see it, but if you open your spiritual eyes by faith, you can see God's given us the possession. He'll say, there it is. Take it and walk with it and live with it. All right, well, let's go a little bit further now. Verse 8, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever. Folks, we're not talking about things that just have reference to the here and now. We're talking about eternal things here. Even when we're talking about the material possessing of the land of Israel, it's in reference, or it's in regards to eternity. And I do believe that that God is going to give Caleb and his family that land for an everlasting inheritance. Forever. I'm a literalist out of the Bible. I take the Bible literally. God says forever. I believe it's forever. And I'm not going to allegorize this or spiritualize this to say, well, God's done with Israel and the church takes all of Israel's promises. And so it has reference to the church eventually winning the whole world to the Lord and dwelling in the world forever and ever and bringing on a everlasting kingdom and a golden age in this world. No, because that's not true either. The Bible tells us that the church age is going to come to an end, and at the end of the church age, there is doctrines of demons going on and perilous times. And the church is not successfully going to win the whole world to Christ and make it a beautiful place so that Christ can return someday. No, that's not it at all. What we find here is that God is going to give that actual land to Caleb. So, verse 10 says, and now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. So, 40 plus 45 equals what, Joey? What is that? 40 plus 45 equals... Amen. Boy, that was quick, wasn't it? All right. Now, I knew the answer already, but I studied it. That's pretty good, Joey. You could come up with that faster than I could have. All right. For these 40 and 5 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85 years old. Verse 11. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Wow, what a blessing, you know. It doesn't matter how old you are in the Lord. You can still take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and fight the battles for the Lord. Yes, you can. You don't ever say, well, I'm getting old. It's time for me to step down. No, it's not. It's time for you to just stay standing right there. Fill the gap. Stand for the Lord. Hold the truth. It's not a time for compromise just because you're getting older. Now, you know, if Alzheimer's comes on and forgetfulness comes on, that's something you can't do anything about. But as long as you got your mind and the Holy Spirit of God is able to guide you and lead you with your mind, then you just take your stand for the Lord. What a blessing it is to see my wife's grandmother sitting here tonight at 95 years old, and some were afraid to venture out. 94. Don't make her 95. She'll really stand up and battle you for that 1 year. Amen. Good. Isn't that a blessing? And I'll tell you what, I believe that she knows what she believes and can stand even still for the truth and the doctrine. For often she gets some opportunities to talk to people in her apartment house there, and she knows exactly what to say to them and what they need. And amen for that. You stand for the Lord, and don't just give up because you're getting older, or your hair falls out, or your wrinkles come on. No, you stay true to the Lord. Now, I believe that Caleb probably looked really good, because the Lord even caused their feet not to swell, and their shoes lasted for all those 40 years. Now, I don't understand that. And they probably didn't either. And they had angels' food to eat, so you can't get any better nutrition than protein and things like that than that. For most of his adult life, he lived off of food from heaven. Amen. And aren't we eating food from heaven too? Oh, yes, spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, the Bible says. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. Folks, we've got all that we need to take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can be sure Caleb had troubles and problems too. But here he is at age 85. Still as keen as can be, spiritually speaking. He hasn't lowered his standards or lowered his expectations of God one bit. Here he is on the other side now coming in, and he says, now Joshua, you remember what Moses said to me. The land that I walked on when we came in to spy the land is mine forever. Here he is 45 years later. Amen! Still believing the same things. Thank God for that. You know, when a young person gets saved at a young age, that is a blessing that cannot be given a price tag for. It's a real great blessing. I see Joey sitting back there, and I'll tell you what, that is a good opportunity right there for the Lord to take a hold of this young man and use him the rest of his life instead of waiting until you're 21, you've messed your life up with sin and all kinds of ungodly things. God can use you. That's a wonderful thing. Because that's what we see here. 85 years worth of serving the Lord. And I know he was 40 years old when he went into the land. And you know that he was already taught how to take a stand for the Lord at that age. So that didn't happen a week before he went in. That must have been from his youth, learning to follow the Lord and follow Moses and the law of God and be faithful and things like that. Of course, he watched the whole Passover thing and Moses standing up to Pharaoh and everything like that. And here's this great man of God named Caleb now, 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Amen. For men of God who take their stand. Oh, how about our brother Donald Waite, you know? I think of that man. I first met him, I was talking with Chris about this, back in the early 70s. Man is still taking a stand for the Lord today, 2009. And I believe he plans to take that stand till he can't breathe anymore. And we all need to be like that. And thank God especially for young children who get saved. And I tell you what, it's all of our responsibilities to be faithful in church and the services and the work of the Lord while the little children grow up around us, that they might see faithful adults living and serving the Lord. And those adults give a good testimony to those youngsters so that they will trust the Lord too and be as faithful as the adults that they saw. It's a tragedy that so many grow up in churches where the adults are not faithful, or moaning, groaning, complaining all the time or whatever. And they're watching that. And it's a bad testimony to them. And then they turn their back on the things of the Lord and walk away. Not necessarily at their loss, but they just don't seem to see the importance of being faithful, loyal, dependable servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. So every one of us here tonight, make a new commitment to the Lord. Lord, help me to be faithful in all my ways so that no matter who's around me, maybe even some young people watching me, is Mr. So-and-so faithful? Is Mrs. So-and-so faithful? And if they see that consistency, they'll grow up and they'll be the same way. Commit yourself to that kind of a position for the Lord. I don't think there's anything better to commit yourself to. It's amazing how many want to pass on to their children a good political position or a good career opportunity or expectation. How about the things of the Lord? Don't you think those things should be right up here on top of all those other things? Those other things should be on the bottom and the things of the Lord should be on the top. Wow, Caleb here is 85 years old, still standing for the Lord. And even so is my strength now for war. He says, I'm ready to go to war. You know what? Being a little funny about it, but we should see all of God's saints, even with canes and walkers, go into battle for the Word of God and the doctrines and not giving in one bit. What a blessing to see that. I tell you what, when I see older folks who love the Lord, it's just a real blessing. We were at the Bible conference and we saw a lady who we've known now for 30-some years. There she is standing up there in the choir, right in the middle of the choir, still singing her heart out for the honor and glory of the Lord. What a blessing, right, honey? To see Jeannie Dow still loving the Lord. She was Jeannie Williams. The first husband died. She marries another good man of God. He dies. She's still serving the Lord. You talk about troubles and things. She could complain all she wants. Two husbands. She's still alive. What can the Lord do with me? Well, then I'll just sing for the Lord. And there she is. You come in there and see her year after year in the Bible conference. And this year you sit there and you look for her. And she was hidden behind the pulpit. Couldn't hardly see her until finally we saw her there. Almost brings tears to your eyes. There's a woman still faithfully serving the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. And a bunch of other old folks down there too. And you know, we have some old folks here who are still serving the Lord. Amen. Thank God for you. I thank God for you. Wow. You keep on. Keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, wore that out pretty good, didn't I? Now, verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Amen. 85 years old. Give me this mountain. Don't we sing that song? I want that mountain. I want that mountain. That's right taken out of this passage of Scripture right here. And give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there. Those are the giants. And that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunne Hebron for an inheritance. There, Joshua blessed him. Said, all right, Caleb. You know, here's two old guys talking to each other. I mean, if Caleb's that old, so's Joshua probably pretty old. All right, Caleb, if you want that. You know, I could just hear these two old guys with broken voices. You can take that, have your inheritance. Probably people around laughing. Oh yeah, right, Caleb, he's going to go kill the giants. You know what? Caleb did. Caleb did get the possession. He did get the portion. And so will we in Christ Jesus. When we by faith take God at His word. Possession is done by faith. It's won by faith. Yes, I know by providence. And God works behind the scenes in many ways we can't see. But He also wants us to exercise our faith and say, yes, Lord, that's for me. You've promised it. You've said these things are true, and I'm just going to take you at your word. And that's what we need to do, just like Caleb did. Do we by faith receive the promises of God given to us? Caleb clung to them, didn't he? Verse 14, Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Yep. You know, in the end, we are going to rest from all of our labors. And if we just take God by faith and take the possession of the land by faith, there'll be rest. There's peace in the valley for me, right? Don't the songwriters make some good songs along these lines? When I get to the last mile of the way, you know, or so many other songs talking about beyond the sunset and so forth, that will be glory, yes, glory for me. Mm-hmm. That's what God has out there for us. We take Him at His word by faith, just trusting the Lord. We sang the song this morning, trust and obey. Then another way of possessing the land, and we'll close with this here tonight, is possession by request. Asking God for things. Caleb had a daughter. Let's go over to chapter 15, start at verse 16. And Caleb said, He that smiteth Kirjath Zephyr and taketh it, to him will I give Aksah, my daughter, to wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksah, his daughter, to wife. And so that was pretty close in the family there, but that was allowed back then. And it says, And it came to pass, as she came unto him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, What wouldest thou? Who answered, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. And he gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. This is the inheritance of the tribe of the children of Judah according to their lands. Well, verse 19 actually ends the account here of Caleb's daughter getting possession by request. Caleb's daughter asks for more. She asks for more. Yes, you've given me, what does she say? You've given me a south land. Give me also springs of water. Springs of living water, right? Asking for more. You know what? God wants His children to be asking Him for more. For more. It's such a blessing to see the grandsons growing and eating and things like that. And you feed them food. And then you say, would you like some more? Would you like some more? And of course they go, yes. And you give them more. And you keep giving them more. And you enjoy doing that. Our Heavenly Father up in heaven looks down upon us and says, Oh, Christian, would you like more? Would you like more? And He then waits to see if we will say, Yes. Would you please give me more? How about the songs we sing? More about Jesus. Would I know? Yes, we need to be requesting from our Heavenly Father up in heaven. Oh, how He enjoys taking care of our requests. Psalm 84, verse 11. Psalm 84, verse 11. 84, verse 11. This is the kind of God we serve. You know, I just like pointing out how our God is to us. He's personable. He is a person. He's not some entity out there in space somewhere where we have to rub the genie's lamp just right in order to get something out of him. No, no. Our God cares about us. Look here, verse 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. He just can't wait to bless us and give us the things that we need. Oh, yes. Mark 11:24. When our Lord and Savior was here on earth, Mark 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Oh, what a blessed promise from our Savior Himself, that if we ask, we will receive. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Ephesians 3, verse 16. Christian brother, sister, are you possessing the land? Oh, you need to ask God for springs of water. You know He's already given you salvation, given you a place in heaven. Ask Him for the springs of living water too. Ask Him for more of the Holy Spirit's filling of you and taking control of you. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Here Paul prays this, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Folks, this is the things that we can possess right here. There's a list of things you can possess. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Now we know the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within us the moment we get saved. But here Christ dwells within us as we continue to grow in the Lord. And that's through the ministry of the Holy Spirit that allows Christ to dwell in us, in our hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints. Comprehend means to understand. That you might understand with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. You know, this whole matter of Christianity is big. It's no small matter. Height, depth, breadth, length, every direction you can think of. The things of Christ can fill it. And you can understand these things if you want. You've got to ask. Let me read on here. Verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And it's not just a matter of, oh, I'm saved, going to heaven. That's it, period. No! There is a whole new life of living in Christ that you are to enjoy and have a fullness of God within you, it says here. Verse 20. Now, unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Above all that we ask or think. You know, don't you sometimes just think about God and think about things? And you might not even be praying, but you're thinking about it. You're saying, boy, isn't it great what God does and how wonderful God is and how great it is to know that we serve a God who cares about us, who knows what's going on. It doesn't matter how old you are here today, God knows you. He knows everything about you, knows what's going on, knows every little trial you got. To our youngest ones here, to our oldest one here tonight, God cares about you. Are you possessing all that He has for you? You need to request it, like Caleb's daughter did. Lord, I know You gave me the southern land or whatever. How about some springs? Amen. And Caleb was more than happy to give to his daughter what she requested. And certainly our Heavenly Father is better than that. James 1 verse 5. James 1 verse 5 to close with here tonight. James 1 verse 5. Look at this. Now, if you could just take God at His word, He'd take care of you. He'd help you in your Christian life. He'd make your Christian life be full of joy and happiness. You don't need to be miserable. The Lord wants to give you the joy of the Lord. Here, look, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. There's the only time it's good to be liberal, right there. Yeah? Who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Wow. Young people, old folks here tonight, and those of you in between, don't know whether you're old or young yet. God wants to give you more. He wants to give you more. He's up there in heaven like a mother and father would say, would you like some more? Would you like some more? And if you say, Lord, I do want to understand more about Jesus. I would like to understand the Bible better. I would like to have wisdom from on high to help me in all the things that I face in a day's time. Some of you really have some things to face every day. The Lord will give you. He's liberal with it. He'll give you the wisdom you need. You've got to ask. So the possession of the land, spiritually speaking, is by providence. It's by faith. It's taking God at His word like Caleb did. And it's by request, like Caleb's daughter said, yes, you gave me some land. How about some springs? Amen. Let's do that, Christian. Let's not just walk through our Christian life like paupers and beggars. Let's enjoy the things that God has for the believer. You need to possess it. How? By providence, God will bring it. By faith, take God at His word and believe Him. And then by request, ask Him. There are a few more principles we'll look at next time we get together. Don't forget now, Saturday is our church breakfast. And then Sunday, missionary Wilps from Paraguay will be here. It's always good to hear. Boy, you know, when someone comes in here with their heart set on serving the Lord somewhere else in a foreign land, wow, that ought to charge up your batteries a little bit. So I encourage you to come on out here and be here next week and enjoy the blessings and possess the blessings that God would have for you. Okay, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for bringing us here safe tonight, for the fellowship we could have, for singing and for the preaching of Thy word. And help us, Lord. Yes, may we be wanting more that is ours already in Christ Jesus. It wasn't a matter of you having to make a land for them. It was there. They just needed to possess it, that's all. You already told them you'd give it to them, but they needed to possess it. You've already told us we have all things in Christ Jesus. There's nothing been left out. But we need to grab a hold of those things. As the Bible says, press toward the mark the prize of the high calling of God. And help us to enjoy the blessings like Caleb, even after 85 years old. Just like as if he was 40, he says. That's how it should be for the Christian. Even though we've been saved for 40 years, it's just as good as the day we got saved. Give us safety as we go our way. Help us to live for the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.